The scripture reading this morning will come from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 through 18. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal.
Good morning. It is good to see you this morning. If you're visiting with us, we're especially glad that you're here. God's given us another beautiful day to gather, to worship together, to sing and just lift up our hearts in praise to the God who made us and who loved us. He's given us a day to pray together, a day to soak in the scriptures together. If you haven't picked up the cues yet so far, he also gave us a day where we can honor our mothers. Our nation set aside today as a day to just say thank you to our moms for all that they've done for our lives. And so if you haven't yet, especially teenagers, now's a chance where you can do it and say Happy Mother's Day. But for the last several weeks, as we've been talking together on Sunday mornings, we've been on this journey through the Gospel of Mark. And as we've been on this journey, we've hit on some really, really heavy, weighty, important things, like three very important, very heavy, very critical words. The first is that word gospel, the good news, that incredible story about Jesus, our Savior and Messiah, who, though he was in the form of God, didn't count equality with God as something to cling to, but instead came to this earth and he poured himself out and became a servant and he became obedient to the point of death, death on a cross. So that we might know salvation, so that we might be made whole. And he was raised to new life. And so we celebrate the story, this gospel, this good news. We've also talked, though, about kingdom. And kingdom's kind of a more difficult word for us as Americans because we live in a democracy. But that incredible good news of the inbreaking reign of God right here, right now, in our midst, in our lives, in our hearts, in our church, in our community, in our nation. That reign and glory of God. And we've talked about the call and the invitation to discipleship. That we're not just Christians in name only, but we apprentice all of our lives under Jesus, learning from him how to live life, how to go about our daily lives, how to be a reflection of Jesus in the world. And I've been really fired up about this. I feel like God's really been kind of working, at least in my heart, as we've talked about these things. They've been really heavy. They've been really thick. And the whole point of all of that, the whole point of what we're talking about today is simply the fact that you are invited into more, that there is more to life, that your life doesn't have to be the same as it's always been, that you don't have to just be stuck going through the motions. You don't have to be stuck living with the same frustrations or the same anxieties or the same apathy or the same boredom or the same vanity or the same meaninglessness or futility that we so often live our lives. There is more to life. There's more to following Jesus. There is meaning and there is purpose to all of this, to everything that we do, to every moment of our lives, the most boring moments to the most exciting moments. We are invited to be a part of the kingdom. We are invited to be a disciple of Jesus. There's meaning and there's purpose in all of this, and that meaning and purpose is Jesus. And this, church, is incredibly good news. Good news that we cling to, good news that we hold on to, good news that drives us and pushes us as we go about our lives. And I could preach about that good news all day. We need to kind of step back a little bit. We need to simply say that all of what we've been talking about, gospel and kingdom and discipleship, are incredibly difficult. Like what we've been talking about for the last few weeks is really hard. This demands a lot from us. You're not going to hear me try to convince you that following Jesus, this life that you have been called to, is going to be a breeze. That it's going to be easy, that if you follow Jesus, everything in life is going to be perfect and wonderful and you're not going to have any problems. The kingdom, discipleship, is hard and it's difficult. Let's step back from that just for a little bit this morning. About this time last year, there was a video that kind of went viral on the internet. It was a marketing video by a card company. And I think the card company name was actually The Card Company. And it was a listing for a job. They had posted a job on their website for a director of operations. And this video was kind of just interviews with a bunch of different people for this job. And as the interviews got started, the interviewer would kind of tell the prospective employee about this job posting. And they described it as needing mobility, that you need to be able to move around, because in this job, you are going to constantly be moving. You'll be on your feet almost all of the time. And the people who were kind of listening was like, that's kind of intense. That's a lot. How many hours a week are we talking? Like, how many hours am I going to have to be standing up and moving around? They said, well, it starts at about 135 hours per week, up to unlimited hours per week. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on call all the time, and there's no breaks in this job whatsoever. And if you really want to be good at this job, then you need a degree in medicine. You also need a degree in finance. And it would be really fantastic if you had a degree in culinary arts. Now, there are vacations in this director of operations job, but on those vacations, your workload increases exponentially. And you have to do all of it, even on vacation, with a happy disposition. And the real kicker, the real cincher, thing that got everybody wanting to do this job was the fact that there was no salary, there was no pay, there were no financial benefits to this at all. And at that point, the people who were kind of listening to this spiel said, that's crazy. Who on earth is going to do something like that? You're crazy. The interviewer said, well, what if I told you there was somebody who is doing this job right now? In fact, there are billions of people doing this job right now. And as you've picked up, that job, those people are moms. They are our mothers. Being a mom, being a mother, truly is one of the toughest jobs on earth. It's also one of the most important jobs on earth. And so we take time to honor that, to simply say, Happy Mother's Day. Today, our nation has set aside to honor our mothers who have been so much to us, who have influenced us so much, who have sacrificed so much for us. But we also realize that while for many, Mother's Day is a day of celebration, for others of us, it's a day of difficulty, it's a day of grief, it's a day of mourning, as we think about mothers that we've lost, or children that are no longer with us, or children that we haven't been able to have. See, mothering is important. But mothering is a wide spectrum of reality. I came across a blessing that was written by a woman named Amy Young. It kind of just speaks into this wide spectrum of mothering and the incredible importance of it. So I want to read this for us. It says, to those who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate with you. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who have experienced loss through miscarriage, failed adoption, or running away, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes, prods, tears, and disappointments, we walk with you. And forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make it harder than it is. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate with you. And to those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we sit with you. To those who lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you. To those who experienced abuse at the hands of your own mothers, we acknowledge your pain. To those who lived through driving tests, medical tests, and the overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. And those who have aborted children, remember them and you on this day. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we mourn that life has not turned out the way you longed for it to be. To those who step-parent, we walk with you on these complex paths. To those who envisioned lavishing love on grandchildren, yet that dream is not to be, we grieve with you. To those who will have emptier nests in the upcoming year, we grieve and rejoice with you. To those who have placed children up for adoption, we commend you for your selflessness and remember how you hold that child in your heart. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate with you. This Mother's Day, we walk with you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart, and we have real warriors in our midst. We remember you. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you today grateful for the day, grateful for the beauty of it, grateful for the chance to celebrate with our fellow believers, to surround the table, to remember your love. Father, we thank you for the mothers who are in our midst and for the mothers who have been so influential in our lives. Father, we thank you for their example. We thank you for their work. And Father, we thank you for the incredible grace that we've known because of them. Father, we pray for those who are hurting today, those who are struggling today. God, we pray simply for more and more of your grace. And God, now as we spend time in your word, we ask your blessing on us. You would bless us this day, that you would help us to know and to understand you a little bit more deeply. Father, we thank you, we love you, we praise you for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen. So for the last few weeks, we've been talking about this idea of discipleship. And today, our eyes, our minds are thinking about motherhood. And the two really have a lot in common. Now, of course, there are a lot of differences. Namely, anyone can be a disciple. It's open to everyone, regardless of your biology, regardless of your calling in life. But there are some real differences. Both are all-consuming. Both are lifestyles of sacrifice that require you to put your wants and your needs below those of others. And both are inherently rewarding. And both, discipleship and motherhood, are honored and cherished by God. And both are inherently missional. That word missional, we've talked about before, simply means that we are all called to be missionaries. And we hear stories sometimes about people who are living like this, people who are going across the globe, who are doing all of these great things for the kingdom. And then we look at our own lives. We look at how little we have to offer, and we feel like we just don't have anything that can compare to these people who are donating millions of dollars to help feed children, or people who are going across the globe to share in these impoverished countries. There's one mother who wrote that, "I want to go. I want to do this. I want to live this kind of life, but I'm afraid the farthest I can go these days is just to the crib and back." But see, motherhood and discipleship teaches us something that's incredibly valuable, that it's in the small, everyday acts of love and service when the gospel is most clearly proclaimed. A mother's love is not just shared in the big moments, in the dramatic and exciting moments. A mother's love is shared holding the hand of a sick child, of chauffeuring a child around from practice to practice, of just sitting there and talking, of cleaning up, of making meals. Discipleship is the same way. It's not just the big, dramatic things. It's the small, everyday acts of love and service that are open to all of us in every moment and every day. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is a passage that speaks to this idea, not just of motherhood, but an idea of living in this missional way. And I want to read just a few parts of this chapter to kind of just encourage us today. As we think about this calling that God has placed on us as disciples and as mothers, just want this to be an encouragement for us. Verse number 1 says, "Therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way, we never give up." Then in verse 6 it says, "For God who said, 'Let there be light in the darkness,' has made this light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under this constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. We live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have that same kind of faith the psalmist talked about when he said, 'I believed in God, so I spoke.' We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. That God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving and God will receive more and more glory. And that's why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long, and yet they produce for us glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. And so what's this teach us about being mothers? What's this teach us about being disciples? Well, first, it helps us to come to grips with the fact that we are jars of clay. There's not a single mother, there's not a single disciple who can claim to have it all together. None of us can claim to have our act completely together. And that is good news. It's good news if you're not a follower of Jesus, because that means you can fit in here. That means that you belong, that you don't have to get cleaned up before you come to Jesus. That all of us have our mistakes and all of us have our shortcomings. And I know we don't always do a good job of being open about that. I know sometimes we try to hide our mistakes and we try to hide our shortcomings. But none of us have our act together. But it's also good news for those of us who are followers of Jesus. Because when we embrace this, when we embrace being a fragile jar of clay, we are free to enjoy the grace of God. As we've said before, it's okay to not be okay. It's just not okay to stay there. It's God's grace that takes us from where we are to where God wants us to be. Our standing before God, our joy in the Spirit, our discipleship to Jesus isn't based on our power. It's not based on our perfection or our performance. It's based on the perfect blood of Jesus. We have this treasure in clay jars to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. It's about God's strength on display in our weakness. 2 Corinthians 12, Paul goes on to write, Jesus said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Because Christ's strength is made perfect in our weakness, we are free to admit that we are weak. Moms, that means you don't have to be a super mom. It means you don't have to compare yourself to what everyone else is doing. Disciples, that means you don't have to be a super saint. You don't have to be this perfect person, because Christ works in our weaknesses. And so we can boast in our weakness. We boast in it because it's when we know our weakness that the power of Christ comes to rest on us. And that fuels a contentment, knowing that it all comes from His power. This passage also teaches us to stamp eternity on our eyeballs. Now that sounds kind of like a weird contact lens or something that you wear, but it's actually a phrase that comes from Jonathan Edwards. It's the idea that this type of discipleship takes the long view, that life is about more than what's next. It's about more than the next iPhone. It's about more than the next promotion. It's about more than the next car. And missional motherhood takes this long view. It's about more than just getting to that last diaper or getting to that next stage of life. The perspective that we need is an eternal perspective that looks past these kind of temporary things. This is important for a couple reasons. This eternal perspective reminds us that our problems don't last forever. Yesterday, I went to lunch with my mom, my grandma, and my uncle just for Mother's Day. And while we were kind of getting ready to leave the restaurant, there was a young family who came in who had three or four young kind of toddler-age kids who had all kinds of energy. Like, they had more energy than I've had in the past 15 years combined, kind of running around all over the place. And the mom, understandably, was getting a little bit frustrated. And as we were leaving, my mom was able to just speak a word of encouragement to her, saying, it's not going to be like this forever. An eternal perspective reminds us that our problems aren't going to last. We have the eyes of our heart fixed on forever, knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us with Him and will bring us with you into His presence. This eternal perspective is also important because it reminds us that there are no mere mortals. that all of us are made in the image of God, and all of us have been made for eternity. There's not a mom in the world who has taught her toddler that hands are made for helping and not for hitting, who is teaching that to a mere mortal. No mother has wiped kind of ice cream off of the face of a mere mortal. No one has ever prayed for a mere mortal as they go off to school. No disciple has ever loved a neighbor who is just a mere mortal. No disciple has ever prayed for a friend who is just a mere mortal. This reminds us of eternity. Reminds us that in our mothering and in our discipling, there is real meaning and there is a real purpose and there is real joy. It also teaches us to have joy when God's grace reaches more and more. This missional motherhood, this missional discipleship is hard because we live in a world that's broken. We live in a world that's marred by sin. So there is sickness and there is rebellion and there is pride and there is selfishness and there is disease and there sometimes is even death. And so when Paul uses words like grace and gratitude and glory, he's not just using these trite words that have no real meaning. He's using words that have real weight to them, that in this broken world, by our hard work with our kids, by our hard work with our friends, by our hard work following Jesus, God's grace extends to more and more people. God's glory is shown to more and more people, and it's on display in us. And that, church, is a beautiful thing. That in our brokenness and in our failures, in our fragile clay jar state, God's grace and gratitude and glory extends to more and more people. And it reminds us that something better is coming. How many of us have been getting younger every year on our birthday? Or how many of us have been the same age for the last 15 or 30 years? And we joke about getting older, but the fact of life is that it's a fact of life. It's a reality that we live with. And it's okay. As much as we try to hide it, as much as we might try to deny it or joke about it, it's a reality of life, but it's okay. It's okay because of the gospel. Because the gospel reminds us that we have something better coming, that our best days are not behind us. Our best days weren't just when we were 10 years old or 20 years old or 30 years old. Our best days are ahead of us because of the gospel, because of the resurrection of Jesus. That even as our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. And that strength, that renewal is promised to us. And it comes to us through the power of the Word of God. And it comes to us through a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You can go anywhere to find advice. Your parents and your grandparents and your in-laws and books and Pinterest and articles have all kinds of advice to tell you about how to live, about how to be a parent, about how to do anything you want in life. And some of that advice is good, some of it's helpful, but a lot of it can be exhausting. We feel like we can never do enough. But through the Word of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can receive wisdom and we can receive strength. There's no checklist in the Bible about how to be the perfect mom. There's no list of 13 things of how to be a perfect disciple. But as we live in the Word, as we soak in it, as we soak in the teachings of Jesus, and we allow the hope of His Word and the hope of Jesus to breathe life into our bones, we are renewed every single day. See, more than anything else in life, we don't need advice. We don't need a how-to checklist. We need Jesus. We need to be near Him, and we need to know just how near He is to us. And He is near to us through His Word. One writer said that God daily comes to His people, not from afar, but nearby. In it, He reveals Himself from day to day. It's the ongoing rapport between heaven and earth, between Christ and His church. So as we strive to live into this all-consuming, demanding lifestyle of mothering and discipling, this is what we need. We need God's presence. We need God's strength. We need God's Spirit. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what Mother's Day looks like. For some of you, it's a day of celebration, and we praise God for that. For others of us, it's a difficult day. Others of us, we've just kind of forgotten all about it. But wherever you are, Whether you're celebrating, whether you're just going through life the same as any other day, or whether you are grieving, whatever kind of baggage you're carrying, whatever kind of weight life feels like it's placing on you, I simply want to encourage you that wherever you are, whatever it is, you can do it. You can do it by the grace of God that comes to us in Jesus Christ, His Son. And so for those of you who are here today and you are hurting and struggling, we'd love to be able to pray with you, to surround you, to love you. Those of you who are celebrating and you want us to simply celebrate with you, we'd love to do that too. And for those of you who have never made a commitment to Jesus and entered into a relationship with Him through baptism, we encourage you, we plead with you to make that decision today. So if you need to respond to the invitation, come talk to me down front as we stand.